Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products. Insuring over 1,000 churches and religious ministries in Kentucky, Alabama, and Tennessee, and even insuring those who attend church, too. If you'd like a personalized, no-obligation quote, you can call 865-922-3111 or visit them online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX-4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Our world is weary with wars and rumors of war, blinded by hatred and drenched in its gore. The voices of reason are silent and still, while the waters of hatred bend truth to their will. As many are starving or barely survive, high-tech rebellions are starting to thrive. If the world feels insane, you're not losing your mind. It's all here this week in The Signs of the Times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, April 17th, 2026. You can listen or watch any of our episodes again. You can share them with your skeptical friend. You can read the articles that we will discuss on this program, or you can ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net. That's a website. Or you can grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who once had a guy try to sell him a casket, but he told him, hey, listen, that's the last thing I need. And that's Pastor Mark, who has learned if you watch the classic movie Jaws backwards, it's really a heartwarming story of a shark who gives arms and legs to people who need them. So
that's pretty funny. I like that. You know, and Greg's on the loose. You're more like Dr. Seuss. I listen to your intros, man. You got good little rhymes going.
Every once in a while, I'm inspired to rhyme.
Yes, you are.
But not every time.
That's right. But you did it this time, and so
yes, I did.
Way to go.
Okay. All right. So before we get into the articles, we're not here for a poetry contest. But before we get into the articles, you've got some really important things to talk about.
Discussion time.
Yes.
You know, from time to time, we have discussion time, and we used to do it always, but I like doing it from time to time. There's so much going on in addition to just articles, so we're going to have some discussion time. Let's call it family time. How about let's have some family time, get a cup of coffee, sit back, enjoy, not if you're at work, but either way, if you're home. Anyway, look, our world has changed radically over the last few months with what's going on in the Middle East in some major prophetic ways.
And most people probably have not noticed.
No, they haven't, but that's why we're here, Greg.
Yes.
That's why Signs of the Times is here, and so tell all your friends about it, because we're going to keep you guys up to date on what's going on. Remember, if you know what's going to happen, you can watch it formulating. And because we know what the Bible says, we're watching this whole world formulate into this new world order that they've been talking about for a long time, but the Bible was talking about it long before they were. And that is, we know there's going to be a 10-nation conglomerate or 10-toe conglomerate, 10-kingdom, however it's going to be, conglomerate, Daniel chapter 2, in the last days. The revived Roman Empire broken up in 10 segments or 10 kings or 10 kingdoms. The bottom line is, it's not there yet, but Greg, I think we're watching it formulate.
Yeah.
And before it can formulate, the old system's got to go. And it has happened, guys. I believe this week, in the last 2 weeks, and especially this last week, the old system is officially dead. It's just going to take a while. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a deer hunter. You deer hunters out there, you know how this goes. And of course, he was deer hunting. And usually when you take that shot of the deer runs away and you've got to go look for it because it takes a while for it to drop. Well, that's exactly what's happened. I believe that a death shot has been given to NATO and the UN in the last just couple of weeks here. And I think they're both going to drop very soon. I think NATO will probably drop before the UN. But these are the two major world unification entities that needed to disappear, I think, before the final world government could come together. Or at least, maybe they could have been there, but they would need to be working together with the world government and be overshadowed. So I guess, but either way, something had to change, okay?
Okay.
What am I talking about? Well, NATO, to me, is done. They've been shot in the heart. And Greg, you're to blame.
I know.
You know, you give prophecy a bad name. Either way.
It's so funny how our brains race.
Well, it's always.
As soon as you said that,
well,
I was.
All over the,
and you beat
I'm
me
sure
to
all
it.
Our listeners are saying that too.
It's, I know.
Every commercial anymore, that's all you hear. Here's the bottom line. Look, NATO, I think, is a dead entity.
Yes.
I think they are. NATO's been around for so long now, but I think what finally killed them was what happened in Iran and the Strait of Hormuz. And here's the bottom line. When America, look, America has always been there. The NATO, just so you know, the NATO alliances, if anybody doesn't understand, these are nations that come together and say, look, we're all going to join forces together and support each other in wars, in battles, in need. We're going to be allies, okay? So America has always been the ally to all these guys. They've helped them.
Yes.
And we could name numerous things that we had no interest in
The fact that we've kept such a large military presence all around Europe.
Yes. So we've done our part. Well, guess what? We need help with Iran. Not that we need help. Our government and our military, President Trump and the military, they did a beautiful job in taking care of this. But, I mean, it would have been nice to have some minesweepers going through Hormuz looking for mines. It would have been nice having some support, some battleships show up, a little bit of air support and some, just something to say, you know what? I know you don't need us, but we're here for you and we're going to stand with you. We were totally betrayed and rejected. It's like, nope, we're not going to help you. You're on your own. Go for it. And everybody wimped out. We basically realized that NATO is filled with a bunch of chickens. And they're afraid to do it. Again, I will say this. A big portion of NATO backing out is this Islamic invasion that's happened now in Europe. They've got so much of an Islamic influence that really hates America and Israel that even though they're not running things yet, which I think they eventually will if something doesn't change, there's a lot of pressure on the politicians because they want to keep all their people happy. So that's been a big part of it. But with that said, NATO wasn't there. And President Trump said, are you guys going to help? No, we're not going to help. Some of them, he said, hey, he said, well, you know, we want to help, but it'd be bad for us. Do we have to? And he's like, okay, you know, you don't have to. But here's the bottom line. You know who your friends are when you need your friends. And they weren't there. So I think he's had it. I think he's done. I think he's going to say, you know what? We're done with NATO. And so you guys are on your own. Figure it out. We're going to start our own brand new alliances, okay? And Greg, it's interesting to see the alliances. The alliances are including Middle Eastern states like Saudi Arabia. The ones he thanked today, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, some of these others, the people that are helping him, there's going to be a new alliance built that is coming together in addition to the peace board, the board of peace that he already has in place. And I'll get back to that.
Okay.
But I think NATO is done. I think that the bullet has hit the heart, and now it's just running through the woods trying to, you know, and it's shocked. I think Europe's running through the woods shocked. Well, what are we going to do? America's not going to be here for us, and they're eventually just going to drop. And you know what? Russia's ready to do whatever they want, and Europe can't stop them.
So I guess the next step in that would be the withdrawal of U.S. troops from bases over there in Europe.
I think it'll happen. Look, here's what'll happen.
Once we start seeing that, then we know it's for real.
Here's what'll happen. The only bases I think that will remain will be those that he says, you know what? These really need to be here in order for us to be safe. I believe that. He's going to need to be here in order for us to be safe. And so if it benefits us, if it benefits America, he'll keep them there. If it doesn't benefit America, yes, I believe he's going to be yanking them out of there. So I think we're going to see these bases drop out, and we're going to see, again, NATO just kind of fade into the distance because they're going to be a non-entity. Listen, America is the major funder of NATO. We are the power behind NATO. And so NATO is just going to be done now. That's going to be a done deal. Now, secondly, so NATO finished. Secondly, you've got the UN. The UN's been a joke for a long time. I mean, even the world calls them the UN. I mean, they're like, you know, it's like they do nothing.
Or Ronnie Simon called them the useless nations.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Now, here's the thing. Why do I believe they're on their way down? Because a lot of the nations are backing out of the UN because they're so ridiculous and they're not paying their dues. So they're running out of money. America, again, like there was like was the major funder for NATO. We're the major major funder for the UN. And now the UN just made Iran like one of the, I think they're like heading up human rights for the United Nations, which means women's rights. It is a joke. It is absurd. They're like, they make women basically slaves. They make them dress up like a burrito where you can't even see them. And then they just treat them with no rights at all. They beat them if they do anything wrong. And so the bottom line is...
Yeah, if they show their hair or whatever.
It is a joke that they would be over anything with human rights, especially pertaining to women. So I believe that what's going to happen is, look, they already were on President Trump's naughty list. Now they've done this. I believe you're going to hear an announcement. NATO, we're done. I think you're going to be hearing things about the UN. We're backing out of the UN. You guys are on your own. We're going to do our own thing. So the focus right now, I think.
Think he'll kick him out of New York?
I don't know about that. We'll see. But here's what I think will happen. I think he's going to start pushing his new alliances. You know, we can't depend on NATO. We can't depend on the UN. But you know what? Saudi Arabia, we can depend on them. Qatar, you know, some of these other countries over there, you know, that helped us out, we can depend on. And I think and this board of peace, you're going to see a lot with the board of peace, I think, raising up. It might be, Greg. Now, again, we don't have the 10 toes yet out of Daniel chapter 2. The 10 kingdoms.
No, we don't have
kings.
A one world government running.
But now that those are out of the way,
yes,
we may see this beginning to formulate. We may be watching it formulate. And so keep your eye on what comes out of this. It could be this whole formulation of this new alliance. And if it doesn't end up being 10 right away, whether it's a little bit lower, whether it's a lot more, it'll settle on 10 at some point, and that's where we're going to be. So be watching for that. These are major, major world events, and it's a major shift. And here's the thing. There's a big vacuum right now. There's a big vacuum. Somebody needs to fill that void of the nations coming together, because with NATO and UN so weak, there's going to be a void fill, and America's leading the way. Matter of fact, we have probably after this will be the number one exporter of gas and oil in the world. Think about that for a minute. We're going to be, everybody's coming to us. I mean, this whole thing has shifted. And so that's why I say the Antichrist and this whole world system, somehow it's going to be funneled through America. I don't think that necessarily it'll be our president, but I think it's going to be somehow America connecting in and funneled through America. We're going to have to see how this is going to all come together. I don't know. But it's going to happen. The next major thing to be watching right now is, and here's kind of, okay, so there's kind of the setting for where we're going from here. What do we do with this growing Islam all around the globe? Well, you're watching Islam take over Europe. They let millions and tens of millions of Muslims come into the countries of Europe by opening their doors to these immigrants. And now they're coming there. They're just everywhere. They're having piles of children. They're starting to take over. Now, of course, for a long time, you've got the mayor there of London being a Muslim. They're starting to take over major roles in European positions. And you're going to see more and more of a stronghold of Islam in Europe. And we're watching, Greg, a growing Muslim influence here in America. You're seeing what's happening up in Minnesota, what's happening in Michigan. So there's a growing Muslim population as they're moving in here as well. And remember, what people need to understand, it's not about being against Arabs, okay? The Muslim religion teaches total takeover. What their ultimate goal, they teach this. And I know you've got some moderate Muslims that may not be pushing this. But Islam itself teaches a takeover of the world. Jihad means submission. Everyone is to submit to Allah and Muhammad and the world. They all come under that, which, by the way, is a very different God than the God of the Bible. I want our listeners to know this. If you ever think that Allah and Yahweh are the same God, ask any Muslim friend you have, is Allah the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Because in the Bible, it says Yahweh is the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Ask a Muslim that. They will quickly tell you, no way. No way.
Only Abraham.
That's right. So which means you got two different gods going here. Okay, now, what their goal is to come in with intrigue, to take over peacefully, just to smile everybody into a submission. And then once they get into power, then institute Sharia. So Europe is pretty much gone. It's happening in America more and more. If we don't wake up and put a stop to it and say, you know what, look, this isn't about not liking a people group. That has nothing to do with this. It's saying our laws, the laws of the land, must prohibit Sharia, and it must be on our constitution. And people say, oh, that's ridiculous. It is going to be. No, it's not ridiculous. And it happens already in other nations. They're letting them do that. And by the way, they're kind of in Michigan and Minnesota, some of these areas, they're turning a blind eye to some of the Sharia that they're living in.
And now, watch out for New York City. That's next.
That's right. Again, it's already, so keep your eyes open. It's this takeover, okay? Now, recognize this is a move of the enemy, again, to try to subdue the planet. It doesn't matter what religious head is over it, just to take over. What makes this even more interesting, Greg, let me first of all finish with that. Then I want to get to the Antichrist. Now, so what does this mean again with Rome? The Roman Empire was basically a Western style empire. So I still believe that the Roman Empire, when the Antichrist takes over, is going to predominantly be a Western based civilization. So what about all the Muslims? What's happening with all the Muslims and all the Sharia and all the stuff? Again, I believe what's going to happen with the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war, you're going to have a massive number of radical Muslims in five different nations coming against Israel with Russia, and Russia now has massive Muslim population. It's not going to eradicate radical Islam or those that are truly committed to Islam, but it's going to be a giant chunk at one moment when God judges those five armies. So what you're going to see, it's almost like when you go into Iran and you blow everything up, or go into Gaza and blow up all their tunnels, you give them a few years, they rebuild it all back. Well, what will happen is they're going to rebuild back. But if God comes in and boom, you see this big, against these armies coming against Israel and takes out radical Islam in a big way there, which I think will happen, there's going to be a moment of hush. And that's when the Antichrist can come on the scene, establish his authority, and you'll have that supposed peace for 3.5 years, and then the Great Tribulation. There'll be that lull until they can rebuild. Basically, it's kind of a lull while they're reloading, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I still think it's going to be led by a Western-style society. Now, the issue of the Antichrist. Sorry, Mark, wait a minute. The Muslims have a Messiah, and the Jews have a Messiah. The Jewish Messiah that they believe in right now lines up perfectly with who it says the Antichrist is going to be. He's going to dominate the world. He's going to bring world peace. He's going to let them rebuild their third temple. All these things are looking for, he's going
to
do.
Yeah, peace to the Temple Mount. Both of their messiahs will bring peace to the Temple Mount. They're both looking for that.
Well, the Mahdi, I was going to say, same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The Mahdi, which is the Islamic messiah, he also is going to, he fits the definition of the Antichrist as well. This is what's so amazing, what's happened here. You have the Jewish messiah, the way they're looking at scripture, and the Muslim Mahdi, the way they're looking at scripture. Both of their leaders, of their saviors, if you will, which are both false saviors, false leaders, only the true Christ of Scripture is the true Savior. Both of them fit the definition of the Antichrist beautifully. They both believe both of them are going to dominate the world in world dominance. They both believe they're going to, again, have peace on the Temple Mount, which, again, is going to end up being a split, I think, of the Temple Mount, part for Islam, part for the Jews. They both believe they're going to bring in, peace to the world. This whole thing, again, we could go down the list of what they believe, and maybe we'll do that on one show here soon.
Mm.
But the bottom line is they are both set up for this guy to show up on the scene to be their Messiah or their Mahdi, which is going to be the Antichrist. He fits the definition beautifully, and he's going to seem wonderful at first until, again, he literally grows horns, not literally, but the horns will be revealed, and he's going to declare that he's God. It's going to be ugly. Now, what's interesting about that, again, you can, wait a minute, how could they both, because listen, the Islam has to see him as Muslim to some degree or connected to them, to the Arab world, and the Jews have to see him somehow connected to Judaism or Jews. So he's got to have the connection of Jews and Islam or Muslims, Jews and Muslims, I'll put it that way, Jews and Arabs, I'll put it that way, Jews and Arabs, and whether or not Muslim or Jewish, whatever. How in the world is one man going to fit both categories? I don't know. I'm not saying this is the answer, but I do believe it's possible. He could be part Jewish and part Arab. And what's amazing about this, and we were talking about this right before the show, I guess it never occurred to me until today, he could claim to both of them, I am a descendant of Abraham, you're descendants of Abraham. So they would both see their Messiah or their Mahdi as a descendant of Abraham, fully, not half. He wouldn't be half a descendant to Abraham and the other half they have to put up with. No. Abraham had Isaac, which again is where we get the Jewish line. Abraham had Ishmael, which is where we get the Arab line. And so you have Arab and Jew both going back to one common father, Abraham. And if the Messiah comes and says, I am a descendant of Abraham, The Muslims can accept him. The Jews can accept him. Now, again, it's going to have to be, he can't be radical Muslim or the Jews will never accept him. And also he can't be radical Jewish Judaism or the Muslims wouldn't accept him. I think he's going to be kind of right in the middle, enough for both of them to think they're happy and say the Jews aren't going to be as concerned because they're kind of go along with anybody. They're just deceived. They'll do whatever.
They'll probably be dealing with the ramifications of Ezekiel.
But get this, if he's not as radical as those in Islam want him to be, they're going to go, he's probably playing a trick. Because part of what the Quran says that Allah does is he plays tricks on people. It's okay to lie. It's okay to pretend to be somebody you're not until you're in power, and then you implement Sharia. So you've got a situation where they both could be happy with this and say, all right, here's our Mahdi, here's our Messiah. Whereas believers, we're going, there's the Antichrist. I think we'll be out of here by then. But this guy brings peace to the world, divides up the Middle East, divides up Israel, and for 3.5 years, there's this supposed peace, and then boom, the judgment of God comes in those final 3.5 years in what we know of as the Great Tribulation. So again, this is extremely exciting to watch this formulate. There's one other thing I want to make our listeners aware of before we move on, and I am not I'm not heavily political. I believe we have to be to some degree as believers. I think that there's nothing wrong. We should be to some degree. But I believe locally here in Knoxville and really around the nation, we need to be involved in politics at least enough to vote for people that are not going to let the Muslims come in and take over and implement Sharia. It's not about being against a people group. I want to be clear on that. This has nothing to do with anybody's ethnic background. There's none of that. People throw this stuff around whether they want to call it some kind of phobia or racism. It's nonsense. This is logic saying, wait a minute. Let's put people in that stand on the Constitution. That's what I'm pushing for. Vote for people that will stand on the Constitution because there is an active and well-funded machine behind the scenes among the Muslim community to take over America politically. Okay? They know it. They discuss it. They fund it. They plan it. And they're funding it from city to city to city. I believe here in Knoxville, you're going to see before too long a major surge of Muslim candidates running for either city council, mayor, MPC, you name it. Because there is a real, you got to know what's going on in our nation. Across the nation, there is a major push going on for this. And the goal behind it is again, the way they refer to it is from bullets to ballots. They say, we're never going to take America over by jihad through bullets. Let's do a peaceful jihad by election, by ballots. We'll get into the mayoral positions, get into the governor positions, get into all their local government. Then we can take over. And once we're in power, smiling the entire time, we can then implement the things we want and take America over without a single shot fired. So, again, understand there is a plan underway. It is a well-known plan in the Muslim community to do this. It's not as known outside of that, but you need to be aware of it. So be watching for, again, the candidates to be rising up. My point is, you need to be involved in local elections. We've got to go out and vote for those that are going to be standing on the Constitution and protecting us from changing our form of government and the way we do things, because it'll be subtle. It's not going to be directly in our face. It's going to be subtle. And the elections are coming up. Early voting has already begun, as a matter of fact. We have early voting now. So wisdom would say, with early voting happening now, go vote. Make sure you're voting for people that you know stand on the word of God and stand for the Constitution. And just be aware of it, because I think we're going to see more and more of it. And as more of it begins to arise, I will give you more and more updates on that. But I'm expecting to see it noticeably within the next few years, an increase nationwide of Muslim candidates, because there is a political goal and group working very hard nationally and around the world behind the scenes. This is not conspiracy. You can look this up. And again, one of the major groups right now pushing hard in Texas, they're not only Greg Trott openly saying they're trying to do this, but they're even now presenting a different Jesus. They have these shirts, we love Jesus, it'll say on their shirts. But they have the Muslim Jesus. And the Muslim Jesus is very different than the biblical Jesus. The Bible says that God has no sons. He has no children. They deny the Jesus of the Bible. They say he doesn't exist. They deny that Jesus died on the cross. So their Jesus is an assistant to Muhammad. And they say Muhammad's going to be leading everything. Jesus will be his second in command, kind of they're helping him along and all that. And they both will come under Allah. So understand, there's a new world coming, guys. As believers, I believe we'll be taken out in the rapture. But then this is going to be coming on the scene, and it's going to hit really hard once we're gone as far as this process and coming together of the process. But in the meantime, you're going to see, again, just like when a storm is on the way, the wind starts blowing before it gets there. You're going to see some branches waving, some wind blowing with more Muslims getting into politics, more talk about Sharia, more talk about America needs to be kind of get away from the Constitution. You're going to see a change, and you're going to see the formulation in the Middle East and what's happening again. Just keep your eyes open because you know what the ultimate goal is. You are the end game. You know the end of the book. And because you know that, you can work from the very end back to where we are now. And you don't have to be a prophet. You can see what's happening, and then you can watch it take place. And I do believe we're even that much closer to the rapture of the church because of all that we're seeing happen. But it's exciting days. It's not a reason to be afraid. It's a reason to be excited. So be excited and be looking up.
AllIsraelNews.com has an article for us dated April 13th, Blinded by Blood and Hatred. Erdogan renews his belligerent rhetoric against Israel and Netanyahu.
Now, it's interesting to watch Turkey getting very involved here in their aggression against Israel, because remember, guys, one of the five major nations, I'm not saying it's only going to be those nations, but they're the five listed in Ezekiel 38 and 39. One of the five major nations that are going to come against Israel sometime here soon in this major battle yet to come is going to be Turkey. And by the way, a real quick comment too about when you're watching what's happening with Iran and you're going to hear a lot of rhetoric about how the regime has changed. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. It may simply be people that get into power that the regime hadn't changed at all, but that needs to be an expedient thing to say politically. But again, at some point, Iran's going to move. Whoever this new leader is, he's going to be leading them against Israel. So it's either going to be a good guy that gets kicked out, or it's going to be a bad guy who's pretending. As we said, remember, in Islam, you can pretend and lie and pretend to be somebody you're not. He's going to be pretending and then go against Israel. But Turkey's going to be a part of that. So be watching this again. This rise of hatred in Turkey against Israel doesn't surprise me any. They're going to be very much involved in this coming battle. The president, Erdogan of Turkey, continued his sharp rhetoric against Israel and Prime Minister Netanyahu over the past couple of days, comparing the prime minister to Hitler. Well, that's so absurd. I mean, the very one that killed all the Jews, how do you compare him to that? It's just absurd.
I know.
Saying he's blinded by blood and hatred. I would say that the leader of Turkey is blinded by blood and hatred. Mm-hmm. It's the opposite. You know, again, Ahab, you know, coming up to, you know, to Elijah, you know, you troubler of Israel. No, you're the troubler of Israel. This is reversed here. Erdogan's remarks came during the International Conference of Asia Political Parties, a women's branch in Istanbul over the weekend, where he repeated previous claims that Israel is genocidal, although they're not, while addressing his delegates. Again, it's just absurd. I think that, you know, Hitler, you know about Hitler. He's the one acting like Hitler. Hitler said this: you lie long enough, people believe it.
Yes.
It is a lie. There's no genocide at all that's ever happened coming out of Israel. Look at the numbers. Look at the facts. It is a lie, and it's Satan trying to smear Israel and make everyone hate them. One claim he repeated at the conference as he spoke about the treatment of women is the casualties from October 7th in the Gaza war were primarily women and children. That's a lie. Say, there's no numbers on that. Saying the vast majority of these civilians brutally murdered by Israel in Gaza were women and children. Nonsense. The Gaza Health Ministry itself says that 72,000 people die. We don't know if that's accurate or not because of who said it. But again, the ministry does not distinguish anywhere. The Gaza's own ministry, health ministry, did not distinguish anywhere between those who died. They broke no numbers down. And we know that it was also all the terrorists and all the army they were fighting. So how could that be? Unless all the terrorists and their army are women and children. And I do know women and children are involved oftentimes in jihad and in those battles. But it's absurd. It's just more lies. Independent analysis of the GHM figures show that along with the widespread discrepancies, around half of all deaths are men, the majority of whom are combat-aged men. That's so, again, the majority were men and they were combat-aged. So did some women and children die? No doubt. You can't be in a war without women and children and everybody else
died. There's collateral
damage.
There
were dogs and cats that died. Everybody died. So, but it's part of it. You can't, but that wasn't the goal. The goal was to get rid of the bad guys.
We visit MSN.com to learn about Silence in the Pews, where they ask the question, what comes from Finland's hate speech ruling?
Wow, Greg, this is spreading around the world. Remember last week it was Canada. Canada is now outlawing certain speech from the Bible.
Yes.
And you can go to jail for it. Now Finland is doing the same thing. We're watching a worldwide move of hatred against the Word of God. Why? God is now allowing the spirit of Antichrist to get more and more power, and eventually the entire world will be anti-Bible, and the Antichrist, again, will mock God and try to change times and seasons, probably do away with the Word of God, whatever the case might be. But notice this. In a 3-2 vote last week, Finland's Supreme Court, a parliamentarian, and her Lutheran bishop found them guilty of hate speech for, and I quote, making and keeping available to the public a text, just a text, that insults a group of people. I'm glad that's not here in America, or President Trump would have been in jail a long, long time ago. The text in question was a pamphlet that the member of parliament, Pavi Rezanen, I may be saying that wrong, but all the little dots and lines in Finnish speak, yes. I'm not sure, wrote in 2004. It said, the church is in great peril where it is tempted to demonstrate its approval of homosexual relationships. It also includes a passage that quoted Finnish psychiatrist Asser Stenbeck, who said, life contrary to anatomy is unnatural. Sexual anomalies, again, this is, he was saying the right thing, and they're getting dumb, do not include the gift of creation, but are developmental disorders that can be healed. So he's just calling it out, saying, look, this is not normal. God didn't make it this way, in other words. Finland's highest court ruled that the latter statement was incorrect, so they ruled against him. A prosecutor general filed three charges against her in 2021. Her bishop, Juana Pohjola, was also charged for publishing the pamphlet. Their alleged crime was, and I quote, agitation against a minority group. It is listed beneath the war crimes and crimes against humanity section in the Finnish criminal code. Again, the problem is they're doing away with God and the word of God for a spirit of Antichrist. And I would say for those in Finland, you need a Finnish carpenter. And that is Jesus Christ, who is the carpenter from Nazareth, because otherwise you're going down. And you're going to be judged by God. They're on a bad path. Now, again, Satan will have, he's going to rule for a while. He's going to reign or whatever. But you're watching this happen now, Greg, in Europe. It's going to be, it's coming to America. And again, I kind of feel like we're going to get out of here just in time. I would love to see a great revival in America before this all happens and see the church on fire and then God lift us out of here. We don't know what's going to happen there, but this is happening worldwide. We need to be aware of it and realize that, again, the Bible says in the last days, that the entire world is going to turn against not just the Jews, but Christians as well. So we're watching it happen. These are the headwinds of the storm.
All right, in our pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption category this week, we have an article from the Jerusalem Post dated April 13th, where NGOs are saying millions of people in Sudan are surviving on one meal a day as their food crisis deepens.
Yeah, what did the Lord say in the last days? He said that you're going to see plagues and disasters and famines increase. And again, we're watching, I believe, some of the headwinds of the contractions of these massive famines. And again, because of war. And now as wars increase, you're going to see more and more famines in the last days. And so be watching for that. The Lord warned us it would happen. Millions of people, again, he says, in Sudan, they're surviving on just one meal a day as the country's food crisis deepens and threatens to spread, according to a report published on Monday by a group of non-governmental organizations. Sudan's war between the Sudanese army and the Parliamentary Rapid Support Forces, which entered its third year on Wednesday, has caused widespread hunger and displaced millions of people amid one of the world's largest humanitarian crises. And I quote, millions of families can only access one meal a day, the report said, by Action Against Hunger, CARE International, International Rescue Committee, Mercy Corps, and Norwegian Refugee Council found. Often they miss meals for entire days, the report stated, adding that many people have resorted to eating leaves and animal feed to survive. How sad, how pathetic, it's heartbreaking, and just tragic. And yet again, this is the result of the war going on over there, and you're going to see more and more of this on a larger scale around the planet, the more of these wars, these end times wars and rumors of wars that we see, and even now. And so, again, no doubt that even in Iran, there's probably, I mean, again, I haven't heard anything about it. They seem to be doing fine. But it's got to hurt their supply to some degree with what's going on. So you're going to watch these kind of things happen globally on a larger scale as time goes by.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand these signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news on WIAMLP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast episode number 411. Which is less frustrating to listen to than trying to find your TV remote after you just had it 5 seconds ago. And now,
you've got mail.
We have two questions this week, Pastor Mark, and our first one wishes to remain anonymous, and the question is about, is he going to heaven? says, Mark, I've heard you speak of believers who aren't receivers of salvation through Jesus. In the late 2000s, I not only believed but received Jesus. I know this to be a fact because my life changed wholly. I was indwelled with the Holy Spirit for a time. I felt that peace above all understanding we humans feel when God comes into our heart. I prayed daily, read the Bible, and followed God's will to the best of my ability. Now, I don't do any of it. My life feels back to square one when I didn't have His power. I don't produce godly fruit in my life. I don't live a life that would be considered pleasing to God. I am sinning, but don't want to. Am I going to be a believer who once received Jesus and experienced the full extent of His grace, love, and mercy, but now goes to hell because I now live a life of sin? I was always taught, once you truly accept Jesus, you are His, and nothing can take that away.
Yeah, Ryan, first of all, I'm sorry. Nobody knows any last names. I'm sorry I mentioned a name there. I just happened to be looking at my notes here, and I apologize. But nobody knows who it is, so we leave it at that. There are millions of them around the globe. I apologize for that. It just kind of came out, and what can I say? But let's move on. Anyway, here's the bottom line.
Anonymous.
Yes, anonymous. Here's the bottom line. I believe you are still a believer in Christ. And I believe that you are, at this point, yes, I believe you were to die today. My conviction is you're going to heaven. I think you're backslidden. I think you simply need to repent and ask God's forgiveness of your sin and then turn back to the Lord. Now, I'll give this balance in a moment. Let me hit this first part, okay? So here's the bottom line. I say, well, I don't have a desire. I don't feel the God's power. I would encourage you to get alone with God even now. Fall down on your knees. Confess this sin to God. Ask God to forgive you of your sin and rededicate to the Lord. Let Him know you want to follow Him, but you've been, again, taken captive by the enemy, your own flesh. You've been taken over. Ask Him to help you now to be set free, and I believe that God will set you free. And I think, again, the way to do that, again, just start being obedient. I'd encourage you to get back involved in fellowship, whether you feel like it or not. I'd encourage you to start reading your Bible every day and praying, whether you feel like it or not. Simply take a step of active obedience, and if you do that, then I do believe that the Lord, I know that He will. He will restore you by His Spirit, by the fullness of His Spirit, and the joy of the Lord will come back. A lot of Christians backslide. A lot of Christians veer off the course, and they need to kind of get back focused and back to the Lord. This is not unusual. It's not good, but it's not unusual. So this is the time now to get back and be restored to the Lord and not simply trust in the fact that you said a prayer that long ago, but make sure you actively get back with the Lord. Now, with that said, I know there's the teaching out there, once saved, always saved. And I say, and I want to give this balance now. I do believe that Scripture teaches that if someone chooses to walk away from God long enough as a lifestyle, that's saying, I just don't want God anymore, I'm turning away. I believe the Bible teaches at some point you can walk away. Now, I want to make this clear. I do not believe that anyone can lose their salvation. So, Anonymous, I do not believe that you can lose your salvation. I do not believe that. However, the Bible doesn't say anywhere you can't leave it. And so I do believe there are some that have chosen to walk away. I think of Charles Templeton, who was an evangelist in the days when Billy Graham first got started, led just thousands and thousands of people to Christ, was a strong believer, great fruit in his life. And over years, he decided he didn't want to follow God anymore. Eventually, he said he was no longer a believer. And he was basically, he just rejected God completely in later life. And so I wouldn't feel secure in trading my soul's place with Charles Templeton. But at the same time, I don't think you can, like I said, you can't lose it, but you can leave it. So what I encourage you to, and you say, wait a minute, you can't, that's impossible. Once you're in heaven, once you're locked in, you couldn't. Well, ask the fallen angels about that. You can't get any more in heaven than an angel. They chose to turn away from God and leave, and God kicked them out. Now, with that said, I don't believe that you're choosing to walk away from God. You're simply saying, I have fallen away. I don't like where I am. I don't like the way I'm living. And so that to me indicates to me you haven't crossed that line. I don't believe that. I believe you are still, you know, connected to God. You just need to repent and come back and, again, get your heart back where it needs to be with the Lord.
Yeah. And also, I would also say, too, that just stay focused on your relationship with the Lord. Spend time in His Word, because His Word is living and powerful, and it will transform you. It's a supernatural thing. It will happen.
Yes.
His Word will not return void.
That's right.
But stay focused on your relationship with Him. Fruit is the byproduct of that relationship. So I don't want you to be deceived in thinking that fruit is something that you have to muster up.
That's
You've
right.
never walked by an apple tree and heard it grunting or groaning,
That's
straining
right.
to pop fruit.
That's
it's
right.
natural byproduct. That'll be the natural byproduct for you. So don't worry about that right now. Just focus. And here's the other thing, too. If you're lacking that desire, ask Him to increase that desire.
Yes.
He will do that.
That's right. He
for
will.
You.
He will.
Yeah.
And let me say one last thing. Listen, Anonymous, I just want to say this. As soon as this broadcast is done, we will be editing that name out. So the name will not, except for those that heard it live, will never hear that name again. And there's like thousands and thousands of thousands of the people that had that name that are out there, so no one could possibly know who you are. But I want to give you my sincerest apologies. I just, out of habit, I look and I read and I move on, and I apologize. I didn't mean to offend in any way. We love you, and we're going to be praying, and I'm going to be praying for you that God will do a great work in your life.
Amen. All right. Pastor Mark, our next question comes from Cam, enjoying Signs of the Times just north of us here in Oak Ridge. And his question is about Nero, the Antichrist. He says, I was talking to a Lutheran pastor here in Knoxville, and he was telling me that the Antichrist was most certainly Nero, and it has already happened. Wow.
Yeah.
He does not believe in the rapture, only the second coming that will bring in the end of the world. I researched this view, and it seems to be the main view with Catholics, Lutherans, Presbyterians, and Anglicans. Have you heard of this view, and what is your response to it?
Yes, I have, Cam, heard of this view, and I couldn't disagree with it more strongly. Here's the bottom line. It's the opposite of what the Bible teaches. I mean, you either believe the Bible or you don't. And the problem is with those who don't believe this, they don't take a literal view of the Bible. And so here's what has to happen. Look, God wrote the Bible literally, and we have to take a literal view of the Bible in order to be able to understand the Bible. And if you don't take a literal view... Note this, if you don't take a literal view of the Bible, you can make it mean whatever you want. I mean, anybody who's the best talker and the most influential can tell you what it really means, and I put that in air quotes. The only way we really know what God said is to take God's word for what He said, and anything less isn't going to work. Now, for those who are listening who haven't heard me say this before, when we say take it literally, it means we know there's visions, we know there's dreams, we know there's hyperbole used. For example, the Lord said, I'm the door into heaven. No one goes to the Father except by me. We don't literally believe He's a piece of wood with a doorknob on Him. Okay, that's His hyperbole. What He's saying is, I'm the way into heaven. So you have to use some level of common sense to recognize when the Bible is simply speaking in hyperbole or there's a vision or a dream. But behind all hyperbole in the Bible, behind all every vision, every dream, there's a literal meaning to all of it. And so when you read Revelation, it talks about the Antichrist, what he's going to be like, what he's going to do, and there's a very literal meaning behind that. The only way you can come up with a viewpoint this person shared with you is to deny what the Bible says. Listen, if Nero was the Antichrist, let me ask you some questions. Did we see Nero call down lightning from heaven? No. Did we see two witnesses that were fighting Nero that he couldn't destroy? That were causing world plagues.
For 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Three and a half years.
The answer is no. Did we see Nero have the entire world take a mark on their hand or their forehead to be identified? So the point is, the Antichrist, no one has ever existed on the planet that does the things the Bible says the Antichrist will do. So has the Antichrist come yet? Absolutely not. And to deny it is just to say, well, I just don't believe what the Bible says. I know it says that, but I don't believe it. So I'm going to change it to mean whatever and fill in the blank. I think it means this. I think it means that. Well, who cares what anybody thinks? You don't care what I think. You shouldn't care what I think. And no offense, I don't care what you think. I care what the Bible says. Now, we care about each other's viewpoint. I get that. But I'm saying... It's the Bible is what matters. And so if you get outside of the scripture, then now you're really off course And you're going to believe all kinds of crazy things. And people try to say, well, all the prophecies of Revelation, there's a preterist view out there that says all the prophecies of Revelation have been fulfilled. Well, then how, if that's true, then how come the Antichrist isn't ruling the world right now? How come, you know, again, there hasn't been this world peace with the new world order? You know, how come the Jews aren't being put to death, 2/3 of them? You know, I mean, none of this has happened yet. The Bible says it's the time of Jacob's trouble, which is the worst time in world history for the Jews. Right now, they're doing pretty good. So I'm saying the bottom line is it doesn't line up with reality. I remember a few years back, and I'll finish with this on this, and we'll move on. But a few years back, I was asked to go to Johnson University. They were having a class there on different viewpoints, eschatology, prophecy viewpoints from different movements. And so I came as the representative from Calvary Chapel. They asked if I'd do this. I said, sure. And they have a different viewpoint than we do as far as prophecy and all that. I take it literally. And they wanted to hear somebody who takes it literally as compared to the way they do it. And they were just getting all the different viewpoints. And I said, here's the bottom line after I finished my presentation. I said, here's the bottom line. When you pick up your newspaper and read it, does your viewpoint line up more with what the Bible says will happen, or does the one I just shared with you line up more with what will happen? I said, if your viewpoint does not line up with what the Bible says is going to happen, you've got the wrong viewpoint. And a lot of these viewpoints, just so you know, Cam, they say, well, things are going to get better and better and better and better. Let me ask you this. Do you see things in the world getting better and better? Absolutely not. You might think, oh, yeah, but the war just got won there. And President Trump and all these positive things. Listen, the world is still filled with war. It's still filled with murder, anger, rape, violence, riots in the streets. Things are not getting better. They're getting worse. And the Antichrist is going to make it look like it's getting better, but it's going to get way, way worse. So look, stick with the Word of God, literally, and you'll always stay on the right page. Otherwise, you're going to be led down the road by any new movement and any person who's very persuasive that wants to tell you what it really believes rather than what it really says.
If these questions stirred up a question in your heart, just head to our website at thewaymedia.net or the Way Media app, and you can click on the Signs of the Times link and see where you can send Pastor Mark your prophecy question.
Yes.
All right, as we listen to the theme song of the Jetsons.
Was it Ruby? Who was their maid?
Yeah, I think it was Ruby.
Okay.
I think so.
Was it Ruby?
Yeah, I think so.
It was. Okay.
Wow. Okay. That's a blast from the past.
Yes, it is.
All right. Our first article comes from Breitbart.com. This is dated April 13th. Silicon blasphemy. Tech company introduces a quote-unquote AI Jesus that charges by the minute.
Well, it made me think of Ruby because of all the robots that are happening, all those stuff like that. You know, I just saw there was a robot that ran off some wild boars somewhere here in Japan. They used it to run
really?
Them off. Yes, I was on campus yesterday. We're doing some street witnessing, you know, and they have these little AI-generated cars that are driving around. They're all around the place, just driving around. It's like, it was the wildest-looking thing. I guess they're delivery for pizza.
Oh, they're those little dirt, the wheel on, the boxes on wheels.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Again, it just made me think of that when you said AI and the George yes. Jetson thing. But either way, a tech company is leveraging America's desire for a deeper connection with God by offering an AI-generated avatar of Jesus Christ that charges by the minute. You know, and again, remember, when Jesus walked on the earth, he would do that. He would charge everyone that talked to him. First of all,
2 shekels.
No, unbelievable. Of course he did not. And anybody that claims to be Jesus other than the real Jesus, a computer can't create Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of the universe. He's God of all. You'd think people get that, but it's amazing. You're desperate enough to try to hear. I guess it's no different than trying to seek the dead or seances or whatever. You know what I mean?
Just using technology, I guess. Yeah.
The New York Post reports that Southern California-based company Just Like Me allows users to join video calls with the AI-generated avatar of Jesus Christ. Like other religious AI tools emerging in the marketplace, the platform offers words of prayer and encouragement across multiple languages. The avatar remembers previous conversations, though its lip movements do not always synchronize perfectly with the speech. So, again, I don't know if this is... Now, this is...
This is like one of those old kung fu movies?
Well, this isn't out of China.
Okay, yes.
China. China's the one that has the movies where they can't seem to line the words up. You know, with where they are, you know, the old Bruce Lee movies or what. I used to watch those.
Yeah.
And I used to watch those just for kicks. Okay, Chris Breed, CEO of Just Like Me, described the attachment users can form with the technology. You do feel a little accountable to the AI. Listen to that. You feel accountable to the AI, he said. They're your friend. You've made an attachment. This is the scary thing. People
that is,
get attached to these fake things.
Listen, COVID started all of this, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let you know. COVID started all this because of the isolation.
I had a company I was calling yesterday to cancel something, and they give you the AI person.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking. They sound just like you and I talking right now.
Isn't that? That is.
It's freaky. I'm going,
yes.
This is like, it's not a real person. It's just really weird. The surge in faith-based generative AI follows the broader popularity of chatbots designed for therapy, medical advice, companionship, and romance. How sad that is. Mm. Oh, my goodness. Religious AI offers now range from alleged Hindu gurus and Buddhist priests to multiple AI Jesus bots and Catholic alternatives to OpenAI's ChatGPT. As these tools proliferate, many people are confronting how they shape relationships with faith, authority, and spiritual guidance. So, again, guys, be careful with all this stuff. If you want to talk to Jesus, go to Jesus in your prayer closet. You can talk to the real Jesus, not some fake AI-generated thing. And it's amazing how many people, again, get pulled into this. I hope that believers don't even begin to kind of mess with some of this stuff. But if you hear any signs of the times that's not Greg and I out there, that you know comes on at the wrong time, not generate, have nothing to do with it, and if they start charging you, know that everything here is free.
Yes.
So there's no charge
that's
for
right.
signs of the times.
This is just a note for Ed. We're going to do article number two last. I'm going to go to article number three, and this is from Fox, just so we can just kind of stay in the AI theme of things, because these next two are still AI themed. This is from Fox News, dated April 15th. Meta is reportedly building an AI version of Mark Zuckerberg
wow.
to interact with the company employees. Now, could you imagine if we had an AI version of Pastor Mark?
Oh, my goodness. Don't even go there.
At the staff meeting.
At least he wouldn't say stupid things all the time.
And then
he'd be under control.
No, but then the AI version of Pastor Mark would be in the staff meeting, and then we'd be like, hey, that guy on that Harley out there, that kind of looks like Pastor Mark,
ooh,
too.
Pay What's no going attention on? To the guy on the Harley driving by the window. Pay no attention. According to a report from Financial Times, Meta has been developing photorealistic interactive characters for a while, but have recently begun prioritizing AI-powered a version of Zuckerberg to interact with employees. Somehow I wouldn't feel like I'm really getting his attention here. The AI character is allegedly being trained on Zuckerberg's mannerisms and company strategies to help employees connect with the CEO.
Has he ever been known to be very, I don't know, gregarious or whatever?
I don't know.
He kind of seems very monotone-y.
Yeah,
anyway, interesting.
I don't know. I never met a...
Met a Zuckerberg.
A guy like that was very personable. But either way, Zuckerberg has been increasingly hands-on with training the AI characters, according to the FT, spending 5 to 10 hours per week working on different AI projects for the company. A person familiar with the matter told the FT that if the program is successful, it could also expand to influencers and content creators. Zuckerberg has invested heavily in developing new artificial intelligence systems within Meta with the goal of providing a personal superintelligence for everyone. A lot has been written about the scientific and economic advances that AI can bring, and I'm really optimistic about this. Actually, he said, optimistic about this, Zuckerberg explained, in 2025. But I think an even more meaningful impact in our lives is going to come from everyone having a personal superintelligence that helps you achieve your goals. Create what you want to see in the world, be a better friend, and grow to become the person that you aspire to be. So you not only can have Zuckerberg, you can create this superintelligent person there. And, I wonder how would a super intelligent husband be with their wife? How could we, the wives are too smart for us. How could we, it would be good to be able to win that argument in a super intelligent way.
Their words would be few. And if they had words, they would start with, I'm sorry.
That's a super intelligent AI. They have two words they say. I'm sorry. No, four words, two words. I'm sorry. You're right. And they just listen.
Yes.
This solves it all.
Yes.
Greg, you're a genius. You are the super intelligent AI programmer.
We will be selling AI.
We're
husbands.
Now circling you with the camera,
yes.
Getting the full AI 360 experience.
Yes.
We can put that out there online later.
Well, now we're going to go from the creepy to just the plain scary. This is from CNBC.com, dated April 10th. Jerome Powell and Scott Bessent discussed Anthropic's Mythos. This is a new version of artificial intelligence and how it is a cyber threat to major U.S. banks.
Now, remember, we're going to have a one-world economy here at some point. And so the world banks being threatened by technology might force some changes in the way the world economic system operates. And that would make sense in the last days. The bank heads were already in Washington, D.C. I never heard they had that nickname. Hey, bankhead. That sounds the most cruel.
Yes.
For the Financial Services Forum meeting, when a special gathering was called on Tuesday to discuss Mythos, according to people familiar with the matter, who asked not to be named in order to share information about the confidential matter. The surprise meeting between the bank chiefs and the two most powerful federal monetary regulators was a signal that the advanced capabilities of AI are a top concern in the Trump administration and could threaten the foundation of the U.S. financial system. Early this week, Anthropic rolled out the new artificial intelligence model, must be round, Claude Mythos preview, and a limited capacity due to concerns that hackers could exploit its capabilities. Ahead of the release, the company briefed senior U.S. government officials on the model and its offensive and defensive cyber applications. And I quote, "The dangers of getting this wrong are obvious, but if we get it right, there's a real opportunity to create a fundamentally more secure internet and world that we had before the advent of AI-powered cyber capabilities," CEO Dario Amodei wrote in the post on X. In other words, what he's saying is, look, we have to make a change to the world. The way the world works financially, electronically, we've got to make a change.
Yeah.
We're saying we have to. There's your foundation for the one world government monetary system. He said, and if we get it wrong, we're in big trouble. If we get it right, great success. Well, we know they're going to get it right, and they may get wrong and force something right, but it's going to end up being what they're calling right, because right. The Antichrist is going to use it to run the entire world economic system and control everyone's life and money.
Yeah. And you just don't want to get bankhead, you know, because
you don't want to be a bankhead.
Because if you have bedhead, that means your hair's a mess.
Yes.
But if you've got bankhead, then does that mean your account's a mess?
I don't know. And if you go to your stylist, look, I've got bankhead, get rid of it, just trim around the edges, do whatever needs to be done.
Yeah. Round it up to the nearest dollar.
Yes. Yes. Just
like
don't
that.
Cut corners.
Don't cut corners. That's right. All right. Our next article comes from Popular Mechanics. They're always good for some weird stuff, and this one is no exception. It says your consciousness persists after you die, according to new research, meaning there are hidden layers to death.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Again, hidden layers to death. Well, we know, again, your body stops, but you keep living. Let me just say this. Believer and unbeliever keep living forever. It just depends on where.
Right.
Of course, the believer goes to the kingdom of God. The unbeliever doesn't. And so that science could begin to recognize that something's going on even beyond death is interesting. But now this is going to talk about the longevity afterwards is really the main thrust here. Death and what happens when it happens is one of nature's greatest mysteries, unless, of course, you know the Lord. Mm. Clinical death is currently understood as an immediate, irreversible event that occurs once circulation stops and brain activity no longer is detectable. Now, that started happening to me years ago, but again, I'm still functioning. However, new research suggests that death might not be as black and white as we once believed. We once thought death was an instantaneous event where its circulation and oxygen stops, there's no brain function. The brain cells die, and this is the end of life, says Anna Fowler, student researcher at ASU, Arizona State. But according to a talk she gave at the American Association for the Advancement of Science annual meeting about her research, there's a lot more to the story. Some survivors were able to recall what was happening around them even at the time their heart stopped beating. About 40% of cardiac arrest survivors whose brains had flatlined reported awareness during the event. That's wild. They came back. Mm. 20% recalled an experience with death. 11% recalled dreamlike experiences with consciousness emerging as long as 35 to 60 minutes into CPR. I quote, in both human and animal studies, we now know brain activity can continue for quite some time. This also raises the question about whether signs and consciousness should be considered when declaring clinical death. Right now, the premise of death is tied to irreversibility, or a point where vital organ functions can no longer be restored, which Fowler says is not clearly defined. So again, it's interesting. They're detecting that something continues on. It doesn't really relate necessarily to the spiritual realm. But again, it's very interesting because we know that, again, it always continues on because of our life in Christ. If we know him, and if not, then again, it's going to come to an end.
Okay. All right, Pastor Mark, let's squeeze in a good news story to wrap up this show. This is from the Daily Wire, dated April 16th. God's Design, a red state swaps Pride Month for Nuclear Family Month.
Isn't this great? Again, the bottom line is, just to sum this up, is that we've been seeing all this stuff with the LGBT community and all, and they're pushing that on us so hard that we're supposed to celebrate that. Now, finally, these guys are saying, you know what, enough of that. We're going to now celebrate a normal family, a family with a dad, a mom, and kids, and how wonderful of them. That is definitely good news to be celebrating that, because that is God's creation. God created there to be one man, one woman, a family, again, to multiply, and for God's blessing to be on that. We know it's going to get more and more rare as we get into the last days, but it's going to be more and more celebrated by the Lord and those who stand on it, and something that is part of God's design. And by the way, studies have shown the only way you find real satisfaction in life is to have that nuclear family with the dad, the mom, and the kids the way that God says. I'm not saying a single mom and a single dad can't raise healthy kids, because they can. But I'm saying God's motto, ideally, when it can be, is for both mom and dad to be there and the kids. And then God makes a difference for the believer that doesn't do that. So praise the Lord for that. But look, as we're running out of time, let me say this. If you're not a part of the family of God, you're never going to find satisfaction or completeness until you're a part of the nuclear family of Christ. And how does that happen? The Bible says that if you don't receive the Lord, if you don't know Jesus Christ, the Bible says you're not a part of God's family and that you're eternally separated from God with no hope. But if you believe that Jesus came, God in human form, and died on a cross, that his blood washes your sins away, because the Bible says we're all guilty of sin and only blood can take those sins away, that he resurrected 3 days later, if you believe that and you receive that, the Bible says you will be born again, and again, you can be a part of the family of God. So there's no better place, no better family to be a part of than the family of God, if indeed you aren't a part of the family of God. So I encourage you, even now, as the broadcast is ending, say that prayer, confess God from your heart, your sins, ask him to forgive you. Tell him you believe in the forgiveness through Jesus' blood and his resurrection. Give your life, believe and receive in Jesus Christ, and you will be born again and a part of the family of God.
Pastor Mark, thank you so much for that. And folks, thank you for tuning in. Don't forget, thewaymedia.net is where you can get our radio station, WIAM, 24 hours a day, and other content to keep you enriched and drawing close to Jesus. And we hope and pray that you will have a great weekend in the Lord at your local fellowship. And then come back here next Friday at 1:30 as we continue to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times.
WIAM LP
101.1 FM.